So one of the things that I've noticed, having, you know, had a really successful joke at the beginning of a sermon last week, is that the Easter jokes, the particularly the bunny jokes, are pretty bad. I looked around for some different ones for, you know, possibilities for Easter Sunday, you know, that whole business of starting the Easter sermon with a joke that the theologian Jürgen Moltmann kind of suggests that we should do, because it is, you know, the laughter of the redeemed, right? It's this great moment. And there are some really good ones. The one I told last week was great, but, you know, there's some really dogs. There's some really bad jokes. So let me tell you a few. Let's try some of these out. And I really just am kind of looking through a website here with, you know, with possible candidates. But, you know, why did the chocolate bunny break up with the jelly bean? Why did the chocolate bunny break up with the jelly bean? It said, "You're too sweet and sticky. I need a space to melt away with all that, without all that clingy energy." Of course, my delivery was, you know, not that great. But here's one. What's the Easter Bunny's favorite game? Hide and seek with eggs, where he whispers, "You can't catch me," while giggling from his burrow hideout. It's like a bad AI misreading of everything. Why do Easter eggs make terrible liars? Because they're always cracking under pressure, spilling the beans on where the bunny stashed the good stuff. I'm telling you, folks, this is not good. But you know what? You know what is good? Easter. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Sunday Forecast. Man, I hope you had a great, great weekend. It was Easter, and it was glorious here at Sterling United Methodist Church, and I hope you were part of that. If you were not, you might want to go back and sort of check it out online. It was just a really, really great, great time. Maybe you were worshiping in another place. That is totally great. I'm glad you were worshiping, and I hope that you had a wonderful time as well. Now, so we're in a season. Right? We're always in a season, but we're in this particular season that the church calendar has called Eastertide, right? And that's kind of an old word, an old way of putting that, but it's an understanding of the idea that Easter is not just this one day. I did not know this until I was an adult, kind of worshiping in a different different faith tradition, a different community of faith. But this whole business of Easter is not just one Sunday. It's just kind of like Christmas is not just one Sunday. So a couple of things here. One is that we will say that the season between Easter Sunday, the observance of Easter Sunday, and Pentecost is the Easter season, Eastertide, some people call it. And it is a time of, you know, kind of celebrating, of thinking about what all this means. You know, there's the events of Easter Sunday morning, but then there's all the things that come with it and all the ways in which Jesus shows up and Jesus transforms community and equips community. In fact, the whole business of Pentecost is how the Holy Spirit, you know, working with Jesus, kind of comes in and sort of transforms community, builds out the church, right? So, we are in a time where we are kind of in this rolling along, you know, 50-day celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Now, there's a great thinker about God. His name is N.T. Wright. He's British. And N.T. says that this season after, particularly, you know, this week after Easter, it's a time for celebrations. You know, it's time for champagne, you know, before the prayers or after the prayers or during the, it is a time for us to not just kind of go quiet and like, oh gosh, time to recover. It's a time to get on to the work of it. Now, the other thing that happens inside of the way that the church for a very long time has thought about things is that Easter is tied up into our weekly rhythms. So that one reality of Jesus's resurrection is tied up into, you know, this whole business of coming back to Sunday. And in fact, what some thinkers, some folks who have really kind of worked hard in their faith life will say is that every Sunday is a Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is a remembrance of our Lord's resurrection and a time for us to remember and to celebrate. That's why we don't count Sundays on those Sundays during Lent. We count 40 days of Lent, but not Sundays, because it's a little Easter. It's a celebration of all that. Well, okay, so sorry for the lesson there, but I wanted you to kind of know that we're not done. In fact, we have lots more to do and a lot more to accomplish, not just here at Sterling United Methodist Church, but all the people of faith. And really, is that not true, particularly as we look at the world at war, right? And we look at the world as it is dealing with really hard realities and suffering. There are people that are dealing with pain and dealing with an injustice and dealing with all kinds of things. And so the message of the resurrection, it fits. It is right here for us right now, particularly as we are believers, as we're kind of coming to make our way through things. Now, for this coming Sunday, we are kind of moving out of our long series with the Gospel of John and stepping into the Gospel of Matthew, because I want to talk a bit about what happens after the resurrection. There are several things, all kinds of different stories, but this particular one's important, and I think it's important for us where we find ourselves as a church right this particular moment. So I'm going to read to you from the Gospel that we will spend time with on Sunday. It's from Matthew chapter 28, and it's verse 16 to the end of the chapter, verse 20. And it's familiar. You'll know this immediately. Probably you'll know this. If you don't, it's okay. So Jesus has been resurrected. There's lots of people trying to figure out what just happened here. And at verse 16, it says this. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." Now, oftentimes this is called the Great Commission, and it is Jesus saying, all right, here's what you're going to do. And it's fascinating because it comes at, a really critical moment. They are trying to really make sense of all that has happened. And in the midst of that, he's giving them work to do. And he's telling them, I want you to go and do this work. And here specifically is what I want you to do. And, you know, that is important for us to remember now, because we find ourselves in this context in early April 2026 on the East Coast of the United States with, you know, lots of questions. Having tried to figure out, the implications of all this for 2,000 years, we're still figuring things out. And still, there is a job for us to do. Now, on Sunday, got some reflections on that. We'll talk about the job that we have in front of us, and particularly, some things about where we are and who we are and who we're going to be next here. So the sermon, I'm going to say, is called What's Next? And I hope that you'll join us on Sunday. Not kind of a all right, you lazy kids, let's get up and do something. No, it's not that. But it will be an opportunity for us to encounter some things. In fact, we have some news to share with you, and also to consider how we take our next steps together. So listen, that's all the time that I have for us this week. I'm sorry about the bad jokes at the beginning of our time together. Don't try to tell them they were bad. But if you find yourself with a good joke, let me know about that. I would love to hear a great Easter joke. Listen, God bless you. Take care. And I will see you soon.